Welcome to VFN Radio. It is Thursday morning, and my name is Greg Lancaster. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. Hosting this morning's program with me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Now, John is flying this morning, so you won't hear John this morning, but hopefully Chris will be here with us and pipe in with his wisdom and intelligence and stuff that parts the water like John does.
Wow.
Safe travels, John, Teresa, and the family. Prayer and protection over you, the church up there in the Northeast. And we're excited about being here to encourage you this morning. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
The producer of VFN Radio program. If you don't hear a lot from him, he's busy pushing buttons, sliding levers, and thinking.
A lot.
Also joining us this morning is Chris's, or Pat's, John, somebody's in the air. It's Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Sons of Thunder. Boom. Well, welcome our new listeners this morning. Welcome Dennis and Carol and Becky and Debbie and Joni and Alan and Peter and Joyce and Laura and Cindy and Sharon. Welcome to the virtual stadium where every day we're encouraging God's people with the truth, with hope, with light, with a memory of how simple it is to be the church. It's not as hard as religion made it out to be. And it's not as frivolous as our rebellion has made it to be.
Mm-mm.
But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's time to be the church. It's time to be it. It's not a building, although we like buildings. It's you! The believer.
Believe it or not.
He died for you, not for the Robert's Rules of Order.
Right.
Not for your building plan. And not for your new book. He died for you. He loves you. Good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio.
Good morning.
The one, the only. Oh, you already said good morning? And also joining us this morning, as John is in the air, it's Chris.
Good morning.
My. You know, John is in his private jet, you know, concording around America in fourth class.
Is there one of those?
Yeah. You know, we had a chance to really talk about, he's a pastor up there, and he's just really a good man.
That's obviously, right.
And his wife, Teresa. And it's just such a loving church in the Northeast, in New York and New Jersey, several places in New Jersey that he's over and just founded a new work up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so cool to hear about the love that they have for each other and the connectivity. You know, remember when New Orleans, when the hurricane hit, that the church couldn't find themselves because they didn't know each other.
I know.
They couldn't even find their pastor.
Couldn't even find them.
Yeah, so Barbara in Texas had to start teaching them because many people that were in Louisiana ended up going to Texas.
That's right.
And the Texas school system absorbed them. Good morning, Barbara. And good morning, Kichara. Good morning, LaDonna. And good morning, Brian. I mean, teachers are everywhere. Isn't that amazing? Good morning, Ayana. Man, teachers are just amazing people, especially for today's culture. You know?
I know.
I mean, even Governor Mike Huckabee said on his program that he was talking to Jeff Bethke, you know, who has that ministry in Oregon, I believe it is. And he said, I wouldn't teach. I couldn't. I wouldn't teach with a whip, a chair, and a gun. But, you know, Jeff Bethke loves the campus and the students on it out there. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, just, I love the spoken word, you know. I'm kind of tilted. I got to do a disclaimer here.
Very eclectic.
You know, yeah, I'm very, bagpipes, you know, I'll listen for a little bit, you know, but yeah. I can only take
like
so
good
much
bagpipes.
Of, well, you know, it's kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like ball like that, right? High frequency squills are not my thing. And, oh, no, shouldn't have said something.
Right, right.
I'll be getting audio emails, right? Squill. So, I'm buying that squill. Anyway, so, you know, here we, you know, that they're just amazing people. And it's cool. I think about a teacher right now in the Panhandle. He's just neat. You know, he's an art teacher. He teaches at Jim Allen.
Yeah.
He's the one that directed that play. That I got a chance to go see, that, you know, some believers that were going in that particular school. And he's just cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got a chance to see that with me, didn't you? See that with me? Well, no, you didn't. No, I think you were out of town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he loves his kids. He loves the kids at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you imagine sending your kids to school to learn?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a teacher like that that's just excited about doing things with them and helping them be creative and do plays and dramas and all that kind of thing.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's just like, wow. Versus, yeah. You know, sending your kid to school because you don't have a babysitter, to a teacher who doesn't want to be there.
Right.
But they're contractually bound to this union until they retire.
Mm-hmm.
And the two kind of coexist, and both of them resent each other.
Right.
That's not good, is it?
No, not at all.
Like, you know, I wonder why that they would come home and resent you into that situation. That's amazing, huh? Anyway, so, you know, I just am amazed by these good teachers. And there's so many good teachers across the land.
Yeah.
And also good parents who do, are there good teachers doing homeschool? And that I think it's pretty cool. We talk about, it's a huge statue. It's about, I don't know. It's about if John was standing beside it, you know, it's not fair. He's not on the air. I shouldn't say that. If John was standing beside it, you probably couldn't see him. But if I was standing beside it, you probably couldn't see the statue. There you go.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's Abraham Lincoln. I mean, sitting in a chair to remind us. I mean, we really need to go get, monuments of our fathers. I mean, sure, there's some stuff out there. We got to really go back and rehearse that. And find it and remember things. Remember how we got here.
Right.
But, you know, Abraham Lincoln, I mean, here's this man. He's a common man. I think they're making a movie about him right now. I saw on the news they're doing some sort of interview with somebody about him. And
yeah, I saw a preview of it.
I think, you know, kind of the mindset, though, what they're doing with our founding fathers, they're actually discrediting them and making them look less valuable.
Right.
Kind of rewriting our history.
Right.
You need to find out for yourself. I know the book written by Glenn Beck called Being George Washington. Oh, that was very good because it was accurate. Every single thing was documented. It was evidentiary. It wasn't some, you know, whatever. But in addition, he brought the evidence was there and everything was footnoted. But so you can really see he wasn't about chopping down cherry trees, and you know, it wasn't about that. This man had such character and integrity,
right?
And I mean, he would sit upright to make sure his posture was right when he was in a room. He would articulate words in a certain way, he would think things through. He was very mannered, very polite. He would write in a certain way, he's a very calming man. He was a man that was a surveyor, and he understood. I mean, he's one of the founding fathers. I mean, the reason why they came to him and said, "Is there's no choice?" I mean, it's a no brainer. You need to be our president. As a matter of fact, they wanted to make him king.
Right.
We just came from Great Britain. He's going like, I don't think so.
Right.
We just saw bloodshed, death, mayhem, and I was being threatened. Listen, if they would have lost this battle for America, the ones that we celebrate, who they're trying to make look like, you know, whatever. These guys would have been decapitated, disemboweled. It would have been horrific deaths for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they won. And you can say what you want to, but you're living in their integrity. You're living in their prayers where they prayed, God, we cannot be under this king.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about taxation without representation. There's like 17. But read the Declaration of Independence. They turned it into money. The atheists, that came into our, we gave our school system over to, and celebrate even today, mm-hmm. An atheist that wrote, began to rewrite books. And so he turned our reason for leaving England was strictly off of money. I don't know if y'all remember in the 60s and 70s, they started making, you know, cartoons, you know, hard rock cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they had, you know, the Tea Party and then, you know, taxation without representation.
Yeah, I remember that.
A real cheesy cartoon, but educational in regards to trying to educate us in the way that they wanted us to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest issue was not taxation without representation. Yeah, that was something, but there was not representative government. So over here in America, in the New England area, it's called New England because it was, they came from England, right?
Right.
And so you have New England, and you have the colonies, which are independent in themselves. Mm-hmm. But they would make laws and how they thought that New England should run, and they would let England know what was going on, and the king would undo those laws.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, this is how it needs to be in our state, and they would send it to Washington, and they would say, this is how we want it to be in our colonies.
All right.
And then the king would be notified of what was going on in Great Britain, and he would undo that law.
Oh, wow.
And so they were not having representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge because they had no control over their destiny. They had no, what they thought was best for them, that they could survive in a land that the king really knew nothing about. And it was a whole different ball of wax, if you would, in America. And besides, you know, they believed all our rights come from God,
mm-hmm.
that he would just change their laws. He would just get around them.
Wow.
He would come up with things like czars and, you know, and I mean, the word wasn't czar, but it could be beheading.
Right.
You know? And he would just say, nah, I don't like that.
Right.
And so their frustration was not just taxation without representation. Listen, they had all of America, all the resources of America. Their frustration was, amongst many things, and some of the highest on their list was this one right here. The fact that it didn't matter what the law, what laws they thought they needed to have to over the land and over their people and community, the king would just do whatever he wanted to. So that means they didn't have representative government. It wasn't a republic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tyrannical leadership under a king.
Mm-hmm.
And who himself was over the church, and there was no other church he thought other than the one that he was over. And so to switch churches or switch countries, treason. And of course, not only do you lose your citizenship,
mm-hmm.
you lose your head. And so, I mean, even his wife lost heads. And so anyway, so it wasn't about money. So when if you really see that, we got to get, you know, the original 10, I guess, is what we're hanging on right here, that it's happening right now, right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes. And I want to encourage you, representative government requires you to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones that are having the tyrannical mindsets and they think they know best and that your rights don't come from God and that God won't, and, you know, we're talking to the church here, you know, believers, mm-hmm. and that they're not going to be happy with your revelation. Because to say God's God is to say they're not God.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't mind saying they serve a God.
Mm-hmm.
But if it rules them out as one of the gods, one of the providers, you know, if they're not like, you know, they're going to be upset with you. Yeah, I don't mind what you worship as long as you worship what I'm putting before you.
Right.
The graven image type thing. And so with that, here we are today. They're making all these laws. And from what I understand, a friend of mine, a friend of my father's, is in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Sent my father some information, and he got it to me, that they've already made so many laws now. They appointed so much bureaucracy, so many people working for government.
Right.
And they established so many things that it doesn't matter who's going to be president next. It's going to take forever to change the way driver's license office does things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no.
That's what it is. If it's going to take that long, because they, you know, justices remain, you know, laws remain. I mean, not laws, but they're treated like laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, administrative comments and suggestions
right.
and issues and things like that, initiatives. And, you know, with that, it's happening in our faces. And the thing that I want to encourage you is everything in society is going to tell you that's the sleeping society. They're going to tell you, what are you doing waking up? Just go back to sleep. They'll mm-hmm. take care of everything for
right.
you. Just go back to sleep. You know, they have these little micro apartments they're building down in San Francisco, and it's like smaller than a 10 by 10.
What?
Yeah, it has everything right, just right there. You know why you can do that? You can do that because people look into imagery. They really don't experience life. All mm-hmm. they need is something to look at that looks like life, and then their body will react accordingly. They look at the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They look at television.
Right.
They look at their phones, and it kind of satisfies in a false way how God's meant for you to go smell the grass, go step in dog poop, you know, you know, get outside, throw some cow patties,
right?
You know, if we're in Jersey, kick some cans over. I don't think there's any cow. Well, there's dairy farms in Western New Jersey. You know, for those in Colorado, you know, parasail off the mountains. I'm just joking. Please.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, right. Man. And so, but they're building like 10 by 10, 10 by 10 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it has everything stacked up. And the ladies being interviewed said, she said, I could sit here and reach over and grab the refrigerator at the same time when she's talking about in the bathroom. It's like that small. Of course, in New York, you know, studio apartments and land and that type of thing. But, you know, America has plenty of land. But you're looking at, you know, provision. You know, the government will decide how many Cokes that you're going to drink. They will decide what they'll tell you that it's bad for you to smoke a cigarette. And they'll talk about all the details of smoking. But when it comes to plan B, kill your baby pill, they won't even tell the parents. They'll just get this little secret opt-out thing in New York right now, and the parents are in outrage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the opt-out stuff is on the online. You got to study for it. I think I'm the only one that reads that stuff.
I think so.
And then I check the same thing everybody else checks. I just want to know that I'm dying.
Right.
It's like, okay. My house, my dog, my cat. You know, you just click all these things you're giving away. And right now they're giving the day after pill to 14-year-old girls.
Mm.
And, you know, and which obviously got pregnant by boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even letting the parents know about it. Now you jumped all over them for an educator. You don't need to be breathing that smoke.
Right.
You know, which you're right in saying, you know, smoking is bad for your health. I think it's a great thing for a teacher to do.
Mm-hmm.
But killing your baby, you didn't think snuffing out the life of the child of your baby, born under any circumstances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the original founding fathers' values of our country, that all life is valuable.
Right.
Everybody's important, from the oldest to the youngest. And this, we have to rediscover this, because people have devalued people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe in redemption. That's why we have correction systems. That's why we bring things before judges and magistrates and the jury of our peers, which means your neighborhood gets to come in and hear how somebody's accusing you to make sure that you're treated right.
Right.
And there was a media that used to look at it with an unbiased eye, just report everything they see. And then you had fair justice. But we're leaving away from that, where somebody in a back room with a bureaucratic hat on, you know, sketches out an idea or concept and regulates it, and for our good.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And next thing you know, you're in a, you know, 10 by 10 foot apartment with one digital screen that can take your mind anywhere, but not your soul.
Right.
And then the only thing you have room for is your plan B pills.
All
right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And your large Cokes wouldn't fit in there anyway, so you have a small Coke. And this is really happening. You know, I meant everything. You know, normally if you'll hear me like, and then like, you know, 2 weeks later you're going to be like, yeah, that's what's going on. I'm a Saints fan. But, you know, the Lord just spoke to my heart, you know, because what former President Bill Clinton, now called by CBNC the President of the World, who actually makes a lot of logical sense, but his methods and modes are not of God, because it's about taking life and managing life in Africa, for example, in Malawi and these different countries by downsizing the family through abortion, Plan B pills, and those type of things, versus like, how about get them industry? How about get them a job?
Right.
And he is. He actually said, I was just very impressed because we've seen so many wrong things for so long. You know, somebody says, well, I would never. And then you see something worse, and then you think, you know? Now that I look at it,
looking
like,
so bad.
Oh, my goodness, you know, because you know, you can have great intentions and do great, you know, good things, and that's not necessarily bad. You know, you can't just say just because somebody's in, you know, that situation, but you cannot negate the fact the good that they're doing. And he's through his organizations, he's helping to find the Clinton Global Initiative. Freaky when you start hearing us talk about the future and some of the things that God's been sharing with us, that he's helping find jobs. But he said of those five things we talked about, maybe this week or last week, it was in Time Magazine, about the things that he learned that's changed the world. And one of them was, the first thing was the telephone, the cell phone. You know, and it was like 86%. 86%. I don't have that magazine right here with me, but it was 86%, I believe. You can go back and hear it. But, you know, why do you think, why is that a big deal? Well, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And so, well, how could it be changing? Why did people all of a sudden start to decide to buy a cell phone? And if they did, how did they get the money for these cell phones? And all of a sudden, the Lord just led me to, I don't know if you've heard of Kim Komando. You know, she's the one that does the computers and all that, you know.
I think so.
About computer technology and that type of thing. But when I was like, my goodness, what God just began to speak to me. And the government, part of their, I got to do this. We'll come right back. I got to tell you about this. I've got to tell you about this. But we got to go to a break. But listen, the government is involved in making sure that everybody has a tracking device, has a telephone. I'm going to talk to you in a moment about how millions of people are being given phones by the government, and that's how the Clinton Initiative is changing things, and what that means in regards to our government and you as a parent, and how significant it is to surpass every single thing that we've established to protect us so that they can talk directly to. Oh, my goodness. We'll be right back.
Wow.
You know, I think about that. You know, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything. And I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, Pat, Steve, mm-hmm. I remember when I used to go to a traditional church.
Yeah.
And for so many years, you try to have relationship. But yeah. Really, how could you? You're there for a couple of hours. Everything gets started. It's timed. And before you know it, it's done.
It's hard.
And many people experience the same thing. I can remember when I first became part of VFN and Vine Fellowship Network. It truly was all about family.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like I was stepping into the book of Acts because it wasn't about anything else except knowing God. It was about loving God, loving others, and helping other people to experience the same love.
Yeah.
VFN family, if you're searching for a place where you can walk out your authentic walk with God, mm-hmm. where you just are not, it's not an emphasis on going to church, but really on being the church. I want to encourage you. Check us out at vfnfamily.org. Be a part of the family. Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the VFN radio program, they love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com mm-hmm. and subscribe now.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this first hour this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And also Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Yeah, here we are. We've been talking about, you know, what's happening in regards to how taxation without representation, that's how they turned in our education system into, but there was all these different things, 17. You could see them go under original intent on the VFN torch or on your application or iPad or whatever, and just look at it and see that it has so much more to do than just with the one thing called taxation without representation. It just turned it, all of our books were written on the a money viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was written about economy, and it wasn't, you know, written about the wholeness of what they were doing. They were just writing God and our founding fathers' values and DNA and their constitution, you know, writing the history away.
Right.
And it's been, I mean, this is a long time. This has been happening for quite some time. So long that, you know, a couple generations can say, you know, it's always been, you know, first of all, if you have any children who are like born yesterday, they look at you and go like, I've been doing this for a long time. It's like,
yeah, right.
You haven't been alive for a long time. But they really believe it, you know. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's been, I don't know, 48 hours.
You're
right. Mm-hmm. You're right. And so, think about this. Imagine somebody, you know, able to come in your house, surpass what you told your children or your children that night at the dinner table, and everything you ever taught them, go right into where they are in their classrooms and their bedrooms and their wherever they are in the society, and they can surpass you and tell your children whatever they want to tell them,
mm-hmm.
and communicate directly to them. I mean, that's the ultimate thing, is that if you can, you know, get your message out, messaging. I mean, when we're talking about the five things that, quote, president of the world, unquote, mm-hmm. Was right. saying, was, you know, we're just trying to pitch. We have a pitch problem, you know, which means the pitch is you just keep presenting your ideas and your concepts till finally they get them. And they want to pitch to not only your children, but to everybody. And the way to do that is, and Woodrow, President Woodrow, thank you, Woodrow, you know, he came up with the whole concept of, or gathered it together, organized. You know, you got to tell it to the people. You got to tell them. You got to communicate with them. So he hired people up to go around the United States of America and speak off the back of trains in different places to just start giving speeches and begin to change the way people think. They begin to pitch his idea for big government, to pitch his idea for how he thought things should be. Right. When that's without all this technology.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to get, because God's given each of us authority, you got to be able to pitch your idea. You got to be able to talk to people about where you want your business to go. You know, you got to be able to talk to your family about where you, how you think family should be. And you have to present to a people who God loves the gospel, the kingdom, and give them an opportunity to be able to receive Jesus. You have to talk to people.
Right.
Which means, that means then the spoken word is a very powerful thing.
Right.
It matters who's speaking into your ear. And so we establish, you know, a presidency. With the presidency, we establish three branches of government. You know, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the executive branch. We established the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI. We've established, you know, governors and state legislators and state judiciary branches and state law enforcement officers and county and state officials and legislators. Mm-hmm. We're appointing all these people to represent us as representative government. So we listened to them. We thought about who we're going to put in the place to represent us, because this is a representative form of government. Mm-hmm. And we voted for them to represent us. And we voted in school board members who run our schools, and we voted in, you know, all these different places. That's called representative government.
Right.
But now the government's wanting to surpass everything that represents us. When somebody says, I just want to get past Congress, this is America. That's representative government. We sent them there. Listen to them.
Right.
I'm telling you, Palestinians are listening to them. I was watching DW the other day, and they were interviewing one of the Palestinians there, and the Palestinian says, we can't, it doesn't matter much what the president thinks, because they have their Congress. You can't, the Congress would prevents this from taking place, the two-state solution, the different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, Congress is a Senate and a House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. And the Senate is two senators from every single state. There's 50 states, there's mm-hmm. 100 senators. So everybody has equal presentation in the Senate.
Right.
The House of Representatives is based off the population of your state. So you have better representation in the House of Representatives than you do the Senate.
Because right.
it represents, if you have a huge state, you know, and you live out in North Dakota, comparing your state, I mean, they got like a couple million people or something.
Right.
And you're living, you know, that's just the city of New York. You're not represented. But to skip Congress is to skip you, because you thought that out, the person out, and you met with them and they talked to you and they pitched their vision and what they're doing, and you agreed with it, and you said, I'm gonna put this person, vote for this person to put them in. For the president to surpass Congress is to surpass you.
Right.
It's not okay when somebody says, well, I'll just do this outside of Congress. They're saying, I will do this outside of you.
Right.
You granted, you know, Congress has done some crazy stuff, but listen, vote somebody else in if you don't like it, but don't do away with the very thing that kept us for 250 years, you know, the Constitution. And I mean, he's wanting to skip everything.
Mm-hmm.
But to skip Congress is not only just to skip you, but to skip your constitutional right, and to skip the Constitution itself.
Right.
Because he's supposed to go to the Congress. And the Congress is supposed to go with the president. And
right.
the Senate is supposed to work. You know, they're supposed to work together. And the judiciary branch is not supposed to make laws. They're supposed to make sure if they're constitutional or not. But now they've been legislating from, which means making laws from the judiciary branch, where they're not supposed to, because mm-hmm. the congressional branch is the one that makes laws. And the executive branch is supposed to enforce the law,
right.
but not supposed to make the laws. And so they just semantically changed the name of them and started calling them other things,
right?
You know, initiatives,
mm-hmm.
And then they put a whole bureaucracy around that to enforce it, and they use the commerce law to tax you on it. And it's like, you know, where is Congress in all of this? Mm-hmm. And so, the reason why I'm talking about the cell phones is, I mean, the Lord just spoke to me about this, you mm-hmm. know. And you don't, I mean, it's difficult already to do what is right in the context of this present day culture. But if they're surpassing you as a parent, they're surpassing your school board, your legislator, your governor, your congressman, your senator, everybody, FBI, mm-hmm. your state law enforcement, all they're surpassing all that. And they're going right to your kid where they are, right to you or right to someone in this nation. Then they surpass, that is a king That is not a president. That is not somebody in the context of the constitutional laid out. If you need to read it, by the way, how it's set up. How it's set up, it's written in the Constitution. It's where it comes from. And then the Lord just speaks to me about this, and I go check it out. And it was true. The FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, is the one, the appointee of our president, appoints the Food and Drug Administration over it, and they're handing out free cell phones. Over 12 million cell phones so far.
Wow.
Which means this. This is what this means. They're able to communicate with 12 million phones, 12 million people.
Right.
What's very interesting also, we know that that a storm is brewing. A storm is brewing, and the key to those who want the storm to harm America or harm us and take away our Constitution, that they're going to be doing things that promote this tidal wave, the tsunami of whatever. And so let's just issue phones to 12 million people. And let's just give it to them. Let's just pay for it. And that's huge, because what Woodrow proved, and by the way, Hitler used what Woodrow created. Woodrow did not use what Hitler created, which was propaganda. Propaganda came from Woodrow's staff, Goebbels. You can see that on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But so now they can communicate and start pitching their message. Oh, don't listen to them. Don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to your community. And you're like, dude, you're surpassing. I mean that in a respectful way, by the way. If you're right. MC, dude, I don't see, you know, forgive me if that sounds kind of, but that's it. Down south, that's a good term. And so, but understanding that they're surpassing all that. They're surpassing the entire Constitution. Listen, they're not surpassing a piece of paper. That's what's written on the piece of paper. The piece of paper says they got to go through the ones you sent there to represent you, who every day they're dedicating themselves to knowing what's going on, reading the bills, and coming back and reporting to you in town hall or personal meetings, encounters, or emails, or whatever. And newsletters, and letting you know, and so you can share back with your representative, and then they go back and says, well, my constituent, pretty much, you know, the majority of them want to go this way with it, and so they pull the lever based on that. Now, if you have some rebel there that says, you know, I don't care what my constituent says, that I'm going to do it, well, he's not representing the government, or she's not representing you. And it's okay. What you do is you say, oh, my goodness, what stupidity. And so you just go, you know what? We're not going to vote for that person next time. We're going to vote for somebody who actually tells the truth,
right,
and is going to represent our values. That's it. You don't yell at Congress. You replace Congress. It's representative government. And when you hear anybody saying, I want to surpass all these people that you put in place to represent you, realize they're surpassing your constitutional rights. And the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to be surpassed, and this whole nation, as we know, it's going to be gone, and all of our rights that come from God that we wrote down in the Constitution, you're not going to have them anymore. You're not going to have them anymore. And this is the biggest thing that hit me, because there's like 86% of the world's population has phones now.
So wow, 86.
So what do you think? What do you think that? What do you think that? The Clinton Global Initiative is doing? Issuing phones.
Wow.
What do you think they're doing? And you think about it, that a phone means this. A phone means they can be in communication with you. They can text you at any moment. And believe me, this, you know, I mean, people, they believe in text communication. I mean, it's amazing. Like, yeah, I was talking to so-and-so. Oh, you did? I just talked to them. They said they hadn't heard from you in about a year. It's like, oh, I was texting. It's like, well, that's, you know, they consider that. They consider it a legitimate form of communication and intimacy. And
yeah.
He's like, really? Well, get this. Anyway, so 12 million have come now. And you've heard, right, Chris, people talking about.
Yeah, they say it's a right now to have a cell phone. It's a right now to say to have a cell phone. It's no longer a luxury.
It's a right. It is a right to have a cell phone. Listen. You know, it's amazing that, you know, the lust for a phone, you know, I was walking to a parking lot to get in my vehicle, and I think I was sitting in it, And I'm looking around, like, all these people in this parking lot, they're all looking at their phones and they're texting and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, I'm thinking, this is crazy. What are they doing? Oh, my goodness. And then I looked like, well, so am I. I was doing the same thing, you know. All I'm right. like, what have we, you know, but understanding that this is the big thing. Listen, this is huge. You got to qualify for this, and this is your qualification is you have to be already getting things from the government to get a phone. That's it.
Right.
You know, it's the biggest. They say this is the biggest list of people that have ever gotten food stamps in American history, which I believe in helping people out, so I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I don't know about it, but I'm just saying that qualifies these millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people to get a free phone from the government. And it's like a whole list of anything. You're getting anything from the government, like a free lunch. If you qualify for a free lunch, you get a phone. And so that means they have direct communication. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is in direct communication with 12 million so far Americans. And this is the big one. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay for them. This is how they pay for them. You can read about this. Hopefully it'll be available on The Torch. But I was reading about it in the USA Today. Is that you have a charge. The guys who pay for their phone, the men and women who pay for their phones, there's a fee on there, and they're taxing you so they can actually build a political base. No, so they can actually build 12 million people on cell phones. And they pitch all this fear. Oh, my goodness. You know, where would you be without a cell phone? I don't know, peaceful? That's a radical. And so you're paying for those free phones so that the Food and Drug Administration, an appointee by our president, can talk directly to them. It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you can change. If you can tell, he says, I'm going to go directly to the people. I'm going to go directly to the people. It's like, I don't think it's supposed to work that way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, talk to the people, but also talk to Congress. Work with Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people say, well, Congress, yeah, they won't work with me. You know, and it's like, well, will you work with Congress? You know, they're just as important as you are because we put both of you guys in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We put both of you in there.
Both yous?
Both yous in there. And so you're both important.
Mm-hmm.
Your Senate's important. Congress is, well, the representative, House of Representatives is important, and the president's important. You know, you can't point your finger at the other one because you are part of the ones that we appointed to work together, you know, for defending our Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, and to resolve these issues and not surpass our Constitution, but rights, but uphold them. And this is the thing. This is it. This is the kicker. I was just blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even begun to loose this program nationally yet. They've just been testing the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Guess when they're going to loose this program nationally?
What, November?
The fall. Right now,
of course,
they've already got 12 million phones out, and they haven't even started.
Like, oh my goodness,
they haven't got started yet.
Wow,
you know, and it's like, this tidal wave, this tsunami that's coming. It's gonna, like we just heard yesterday from Chuck Pierce, it's really encouraging. Where if you missed it, you need to hear it. And I don't know what the title of it is, but on your highlights or on the VFN Torch on your app,
The Roots of Racism.
The Roots of Racism, really? Is that what it's called? Well, it's got a lot of things in there. But anti-Semitism is the root of racism. And that if we don't deal with the anti-Semitism, which is hatred towards the Jews, we'll never get rid of, you know, racism in there. But also, he talks about, you know, a powerful move of God is going to be taking place, and that the church is going to rise to its a real powerful place, you know, during the midst of all the worst times coming. You know, probably need a different title. It's like, so people like, Rudolph is not going to, that's talked about in there, you know. And, but you think about it, that it's encouraging. You need to hear, if you didn't hear yesterday's program, you need to hear it, because God's reveals things to heal things. And if we understand, get our right perspective, and that's what God was saying through what Chuck Pierce says that the Lord was saying to him, and everything else that God was telling him was coming to pass, and that's how you know, was that we got to get it right with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that we would get it right with Israel. And right now we got it really wrong.
Right.
And with that, it's going to help us defeat racism in our own nation, which is so cool. And it's a spirit. Racism is a spirit. So when this thing goes, that brings us in great unity, you know, and being right with Israel means you're right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And great God values over our country.
Right.
And so there's hope, you know, if we follow God, you know, if my people, we follow God. And so, you know, with that, he talks about, you know, China and all of that. And I really want to talk to Ian. I can't wait to talk to Ian about that.
Oh, yeah.
And about China. But China's fixing to rise to the occasion, and they're going to actually connect with Israel and be supportive. And mm-hmm. Israel's going to give, you know, according to what the Lord's revealing to him, give them military tools and techniques and whatever. And it's like, but if you read a little bit further, you need to be a believer of the New Testament.
Yeah, right.
Because the Messiah told us that they're going to come down eventually and use those resources and try to use them, you know, against you. But you know what? Israel wins, you know, and
that's
we
right.
stand with Israel.
That's right.
If you haven't yet partnered with CUFI, Christians United for Israel, I encourage you, pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Israel. It's just that's of all the things you can do is get right with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can go to meetmyfather.org to be able to read a couple of our stories and it will encourage you to go, hey, you know, Pat was really a bad dude and God still saved him. He's a sign and a wonder, right?
That's right.
He is.
Yeah. Right. And, his son's first message, evangelistic message was a lot like yours, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. So what happened? Tell us what happened.
One of his friends, from the school bus, they come home and, you know, they're playing or whatever at the house. And, somehow the conversation came up about God and so obviously my son just took the opportunity to start evangelizing and, started talking about God.
He's been reading a particular Bible.
Yeah, he's reading, it's called the Action Bible. And if you don't know what that is, it's a Bible that's it's illustrated. It's almost like a comic book style where, you know, a kid could obviously understand it.
Is it true comic? It was written up in a way that's truth in it?
Oh, yeah, it's all truth. It's it's strictly scripture, but it's just written in its, you know, an easy way for, you know, a child to understand
it. It's a cool Bible.
And it's, yeah, and it's very, I mean, I'm looking at the pictures, I'm like, wow, that is cool.
Right.
And, he took the boy through Genesis all the way to Revelations, you know, and what sparked it, I think the boy asked him, he goes, where'd all the languages come from? And Jonathan, because he knew it, because he read it from cover to cover, says, oh, let me tell you. And so he whips it out and goes to Genesis and shows, look, Tower of Babel. And he explains the whole story. So it was
he had his Bible with him?
Oh, yeah. They're on the front porch going through it.
Oh, my goodness. It is a cool, Bible.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a Bible that really sparks your child's interest and draws them in to have a desire to learn about the things of God, it's called the Action Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it, you know, on Amazon.com, and the front cover of it has like pictures of David and Jesus and Samson and I'm looking at it right now. I don't know who that is right there. Gideon, it looks like he's on there, and it's just stories, picture stories,
yeah,
with little captions underneath it. So obviously they're getting the gist of it. But the thing about the Bible is that if you draw near to God, it draws near to you.
Mm-hmm.
And by going after God, God will meet that child,
mm-hmm.
and they'll have this awesome encounter. I mean, that's just totally amazing. I'd love to hear Jonathan share about his abiding time with God and what he says. Just powerful things.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, he hears from the Lord in such a powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so beautiful to see children.
Mm-hmm.
And, children.
And he gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning to actually abide every morning now.
Does he?
On his own. That's his alarm.
Isn't that beautiful?
I'm proud of him.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Huh? Mm-hmm. The generational curse is broken.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Praise God. We'll be right back in just a moment. You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then
and family's really family. You know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house he was. And to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a, you know, a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is, that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation, and it's an exciting thing. The Vine Seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine Seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it, go to vineseminars.org.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10, says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice, and you want to know God in an intimate way, and, hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Well, welcome back to VFN Radio's first hour. We are coming to the end of our first hour. Praise God. What a wonderful. We're just hearing what's happening in our today. Have faith. Be strong. For those that are joining us in the extra hour, we will see you on the other side. For those leaving us, don't forget about VFNTV.com or on your apps. God bless.